We are here, folks, from Way Off Base Sports to In the Clutch to the Week in Sports to the Word on Sports, and now we're here. This is called The Pod. My name is OJ Spivey, OJ Philly, as many people know me on Twitter. We're here, a new show, a new podcast. This is the pilot episode, so forgive me if this is a little raw this time. So I'm back at it, starting a new podcast. As many as of you know, I spent 4 years at 900 AM WURD doing a sports show there called The Word on Sports. Before that, I was cut my teeth at Block Talk Radio, doing online radio here. And I'm here again after the 4 years at URD. I had a great time there, tremendous time there at WURD. Met so many great people, whether it was through networking, whether it was through guests. Wonderful time here. But I've been out of it for about a month or so, but I decided to do just a podcast, just me for now. That way I could give my thoughts, give my opinions, and I wanted to do something a little different this time around. I've done sports shows for 7-8 years now. I continue doing sports here at On The Pod. That's short for podcast, by the way, but I thought it was a pretty cool name to just call it The Pod. But I'm going to do a little more than sports this time around. That is sports entertainment. In fact, I like to call it sports entertainment with a Philly vibe. As you know, I'm based in Philadelphia. Or for those who don't know, I'm based in Philadelphia. I cover a lot of Philly sports, but we'll go nationally as well, especially when we have the NBA playoffs going on as we speak, as we tape this podcast. I know the Heat and the Raptors are playing right now, and also later on, Golden State is playing the Portland Trail Blazers, so we could talk about that as well. This first episode, I'm just going to get acquainted with you who are want to listen to the podcast, or those who don't know me well. Again, I'm going to talk a little bit about my career, as I just mentioned. Again, I'm going to talk a little bit about the state of Philly sports, Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, and then a little later on, I'm going to add the entertainment portion of the show. Probably the last half hour of the show will be on 4 hour this time around. Last 30 minutes or so, I want to talk a bit about, and this has a lot to do with my career as well. And you can give me a call if you just happen to be listening. The number to call in just to say hello is 646-747-8455. That's 646-787-8455. So if you just want to call, say hi, talk a little sports, talk a little entertainment as well. As I was going to mention last part of the show, last half of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about how to have a good time, how to have a great night here in the city, in Philadelphia area, for little or no cost. You would really be surprised how much you can do, how great of a time, how wonderful you can have a time with your going out with your spouse, or going out with your mate, or if you're just going out with your friends, how wonderful a time that you can have with your significant other, with friends, or even if you're going by on your own, you just want to network or, you know, mingle with some folks, meet some new folks. You'd be delighted the different things that you can do here in the city, here in the area, if you just go through these tips that I have for you later on in the show. Well, back to a little bit about me. Again, I cover sports for almost 10 years now. I've been on the air for basically 7-8 years, again, starting online. And the cool thing was I did an online show called In the Clutch, started out as a Way Off Base. I actually started doing it with my son, who was a teenager at the time. He's a junior at college now. But we started messing around online here, doing a weekly show. I think it was mostly on Saturdays at noon, which was a good time. I think that's a very good time for a sports show, by the way, if you're just starting out. But we messed around there, and we pretty much did picks, football picks, especially around the football season. We pretty much went through, talked about the sports topics, and then did a few picks every week, mostly pro football, NFL. And anytime you do a sports show, you do an NFL show, especially during the season. Of course, you know, NFL is 24/7 now with the draft, free agency. They even have shows, primetime shows, when the schedule comes out every April. But that's kind of how we started out. And then branched out a little bit more, rebranded the show, named it In the Clutch. Brought on a wonderful co-host. She's still a great friend of mine. She's based in Atlanta, the lovely Diva D. Again, Diva D, her husband, Taurus, great friends of mine. I got to get down to Atlanta, and see them as well. Got to meet up with her through Twitter. And for those who are maybe new to Twitter or maybe look down on Twitter, I don't see why you don't this day and age. That's how you get to meet a lot of people. That's how you get to network with a lot of people, especially if you're in the communications business, in the radio journalism business. You get to meet a whole lot of people, or if it's just casually. I've met a lot of people casually just through Twitter, whether you're talking about sports, whether you're talking about entertainment, current events, even politics. Although I try to stay away from politics or the social media because that can get pretty tricky and the kind of work that I do. I can't talk about it too much, I should say. But during the time that DVD and I did In the Clutch, it became very, very popular. I had wonderful guests. We would come on Saturdays, and we changed it to Tuesday nights, which was a great spot for us. Again, it was highly successful. Oftentimes, they're two-hour shows. Had great guests, great callers, great debates. Even DVD and myself would have friendly debates about whether it be players, whether it be athlete behavior, different kind of things. But it was a whole lot of fun. It kind of ran its course as far as some personal things I had to deal with at the time. So we kind of stopped the show. It was kind of like at its peak, really. But I stopped that. But during the time, though, it was very beneficial for me because a good friend of mine here in Philadelphia named Phil Allen, for those who listen to Philly radio, he's known as Phil from Mount Airy, spent some time at 97.5 The Fanatic, started out as a fan, calling shows, calling the different sports stations here in the city, and then he got a shot on 97.5 The Fanatic. Before that, actually, he got his shot at, what was the name of the, WRD. So where I spent my 4 years, he heard the show. He heard ITC In the Clutch. He heard a couple times, came on as a guest, was great to come on as a guest. And he had me fill in a couple times. He had me call in as a guest. Gave me some content, gave me some plug for In the Clutch Sports Radio. And then as circumstance has it, this is really like the old days in radio. But one time he had me fill in for one of his on-air partners, filled in a couple times. Next thing you know, I was on every week with him, often filled in for him when he was out. And one thing led to another. He moved on, did other things. They kept me on. After a couple months, they kept me on the show. We rebranded the show, brought in another great friend of mine. In fact, this guy, we became really, really close, still close now. His name is Neil T, Neil Scarborough, who we talk about one of the smart dudes in radio, not radio, smart dudes in sports, just journalism, journalism in general. He started out, well, I won't say he started out, he's from this area, from the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, grew up up in North Jersey, went to University of Colorado, got his degree there. Most notably, he ran ESPN.com for another year. It was the ESPN website. When you think about that, when I'm partnered here in Philly Radio with someone who was just as, who's big with ESPN, and even before that, he was a sports editor. He's now a producer up in New England, New England Sports Network. But he's a producer there now, produces content for their sports network. It's kind of like New England Comcast Sportsnet, even though they have one up there too. Great friend of mine. We've gone out together, our wives and everything. We've gone out, been to their home and everything. But great dude, taught me a lot about not, sports was really an afterthought, but he taught me a lot about the business. About the business of journalism, spent years up there, ESPN up there in Connecticut. Before that, he was a sports editor at the Denver Post. Now, when you think about, that's one of the major sports sections in the country, Denver Post, even though it's a smaller market than New York, Chicago, L.A., Philadelphia. He was the boss of, if you know NFL, you know Adam Schefter. He was Adam Schefter's boss when Adam wrote for the Denver Post, covering the Denver Broncos. Also, Marcus Spears, who I believe writes for Yahoo now. He was also under Neil at the Denver Post. So, great guy. Again, we had a lot of fun together for 3 years at URD. They ended the show back in April. So here I am just doing a podcast on my own. And again, if you want to say hello, say hi, give me a call here at 646-787-8455. But just during my journey, I had great experiences, met a ton of people, met a ton of famous people, although I don't get all that starstruck. I'll tell you the two people out of all the folks that I've met, funny story. Out of all the folks that I've met, two people, they happen to be females. Two people just put me in awe when I actually met them, and it was very surreal. And I never thought I'd had that feeling. The most surreal person that I ever met was Bill Russell, and that's before I even got into broadcasting. This was back in 2000, I believe, and he published a book called Russell Rules, and I met him at the Central Library here in Philadelphia, and that was very, very surreal, just to shake his hand, just to say hello, for him to say hi to me. The autograph was one thing, autograph in the book signing was one thing to Bill Russell, but just to shake his hand was very surreal with me and still sticks to me to this day. But during my time at WURD, I got to meet the great Billie Jean King, tennis great, tennis legend, feminists as well, did a lot for the sport of tennis, did a lot for women's rights in general. She owns the Philadelphia Freedoms professional tennis team here in Philly. They play their games at Villanova, national champs, basketball, by the way. But she is the owner of the Philadelphia Freedoms. So a couple seasons ago, through another good friend of mine, networking is so big when you're in this business. It's awfully big, and I talk a lot about that as we go on. It's awfully big with the show. I'm sorry, with the business and the show, too, because it'll help you when you have a radio show, when you have even a television show. Met Billie Jean King through a mutual friend, well, business partner, actually, for Billie Jean King, friend of mine. His name is Jeff. He's a DJ here in this area. In fact, he's called DJ 007, so I'm about to give him a free plug. I know he'll enjoy this, but if you know of DJ 007 here in this area, look him up. I mean, he DJs. You wouldn't find a better DJ to do your party, do your wedding, do your event, whatever. But I met Billie Jean King through Jeff because he was the DJ for the Philadelphia Freedom Games. So brought him in on the show, in the studio, one Saturday, and talked about his journey. Talked about his journey, and he was able to get me and my family some tickets to the game. And the great thing about going to a Philadelphia Freedoms game, they let the kids down on the court. They meet all the players, Taylor Townsend, to think of a name right off the back. My daughter got to meet Taylor Townsend, took some photos with her. And then when you think of someone as big as Billie Jean King, you I guess you have this preconceived notion that people that big, people, as you might say, larger than life, may not be accessible. But she was very accessible, and, you know, just right there. And then my wife was there, of course, and she's like, oh, get a picture with her, get a picture with her, you know. And I was like, okay, well, there's Billie Jean King, and I don't know if she would want to be bothered. And she was the sweetest, most open, down-to-earth person that you would ever meet. One other thing I would say about being in, you know, sports, entertainment business, a lot of folks are, well, especially ones who kind of do this thing as far as journalism, hosting on TV, radio, a lot of them you'll meet aren't the nicest people in the world. I'm not going to say any names, but when you meet someone like a Billie Jean King and you notice that she is so down to earth, took a couple photos with her. Those who know me, they seen a photo, but that was pretty surreal to me. And I'll tell you another thing that was just as surreal, if not more, was meeting Leah Still. So, you know, Leah Still, daughter of Devin Still, who she fought through cancer. She has since beat cancer. I believe, she's 5-6 years old now. Someone who I would never thought in a million years that I would meet. But then when you realize that Devin Still, and also Leah's mother, Carmen, by the way, they're from the Delaware area. And again, this is all about networking. This is all about guests. I had Leah's aunt on one of my shows, and her family had a run walk, a 5K run walk down in Wilmington, Delaware last fall. And that was a great event. I got to cover it. I was basically the only media there, if you want to call it media. I was basically the only media there for the walk. I don't know if anyone else came afterwards because I had to leave and go to the station. But I got, nevertheless, I got to meet Leah Still. You talk about a person, an individual who was just so full, of joy, so happy, loves life. Met all the people. I met everyone who was at the finish line, whether they walked, ran. And she was just so open, got a few pictures with her, her mother as well. And again, you talk about someone who was just, you know, mind you, she is a child. That was so surreal to me, that touched me. And I'm like, okay, I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, you know, I'm taking photos of the event and all. And thank you to Red Carpet Group as well, because Deja Red, who she made all that happen. In fact, happy to call her a friend because from LaShawn McCoy, Leah Still, the Jefferson boys who went on to the NBA, I got to meet all of them because of Featurette. So shout out to Red Carpet Group as well. So there you go. When you get into this business, you got to get out there. You have to network. And oftentimes you get out there enough, people will come to you and pitch to you different things. It's been countless guests, countless people, networking friends who I like to thank who have gotten me this far, gotten me to this point. But when I look back at it, Leah Still, Billie Jean King, met a few other people along the way as well. So great stuff there that I can, you know, look back on and I'm really proud of as far as my career and sports radio is concerned. All right, so enough about me. Well, I'll say a little bit more about how I got here. Again, as far as my schooling is concerned, I'm not a college grad. I actually went to broadcast school. I'm a graduate of CSB. That's Connecticut School of Broadcasting. They have campuses all down the East Coast. I won a contest Their tuition was for a trade school. Their tuition is not cheap, but I was fortunate enough to win a scholarship to go to that school, and I went to the night classes, graduated in 2005, got my certification with TV radio. So when I went on my own with that, I never realized that I was going to be into this business as much or have a love for this business as much until I got into my 20s, and I probably got serious about it into my early 30s. So here I am with that. The one thing I will say, it was awfully difficult, especially in this market, to break into radio, because I really wanted to just go into radio, not so much TV. What is both is very difficult because it's highly competitive. I will say this to advice for people out there listening or want to listen to this podcast. The bigger the market, the more competitive it's going to be. So I often tell young people, millennials as we call them now, I often tell young people, if you're a communications major, if you're a journalism major, if you had an opportunity to go to another market, start off at a smaller market, go ahead and do so. Forget your friends. I will say forget your family, of course, especially if your parents put you through school. But, you know, go to a smaller market, cut your teeth there. You can always come home. You can always go to a bigger market. And I think anybody who's even, you know, a lot more successful than I have been, will tell you that, will give you that advice. Don't be afraid to go to other markets, go to other cities. Hey, if you have to go to Timbuktu, Kansas, or Timbuktu, Alabama, to cut your teeth, cover high school football, cover high school volleyball down at the shore, you know, the Jersey Shore, hey, that'll cut your teeth, you know, so that'll get your feet wet in this business. So don't be afraid to do that. So I got to this point again. I just tried to work my way up. It was very difficult at first. I'm not going to say that it's easy, very difficult at first, but I found my niche doing podcasting, started out at podcasting. Someone heard me. One thing led to another, came in to have guests, filled in here, filled in there, and then there you have it. Here I am at WRD for 4 years, and then now, you know, in between, I decided to go ahead and podcast because I love it so much. I enjoy being on the air, talking sports, and talking other things as well. So this is the pod, new podcast. My name is OJ Spivey, and of course you can follow me on Twitter at OJ Philly. That's all one word, OJ Philly on Twitter. You can also follow this show because we have a new Twitter handle for the show. It's called The Pod Show. And you can also like us on Facebook as well at The Pod Show. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a short break and I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you my opinion, my state of Philly sports. Here in this town, give you a little thoughts for the Eagles, everything that's going on with Sam Bradford, the Sixers, the lottery is coming up, and the surprising Philadelphia Phillies, who I didn't think would be anywhere this good, but I want to give you my thoughts on the state of Philly sports, and then later on in the show into the next half hour, I'm going to give you some tips. I won't say guaranteed, but put it this way, I would say it's pretty much that it's a good bet that you'll be able to, if you follow the tips that I give you later on in the show, you will be sure to have a great night in Philly for little or nothing. Trust me on this one. We'll be right back. This is The Pod Show. Okay, we're back here. This is the pod, brand new show. My name is OJ Spivey. I'm your host of the pod, your home for sports entertainment with a Philly vibe. We'll also talk about business, sports history. I'm a sports historian by trade, so we'll have many shows covering sports entertainment, sports business, sports history. We'll have a lot of experts on. Just want to do a fun show, not just necessarily all sports all the time, but when we do sports, it's going to be interactive. It's going to be educational. So I just don't want to do the run-of-the-mill sports show and be the quote-unquote angry 50-year-old sports fan, you know, Joe Plus, Joe Sixpack, although, you know, nothing wrong with that. A lot of people have sports shows, so I wanted to do something a little different, do something a little different to where I can call it my own, and I can call it something that a lot of people will enjoy. A lot of people will at least get something out of every episode. Again, this is sort of like the pilot episode, so get my feet wet with this one. As we go on with other shows, we're going to have people on talking about food, talking about the arts. We're going to have music as well, and we're all going to try to tie it to sports one way or another. If not, that's fine too. But I hope you enjoy it as I start this new podcast called The Pod. And if you miss any part of it, if you're just coming in, you're listening to it, and you miss any parts of it, we're going to make it available. It's going to be podcasted. We're going to put it on. We have a website as well that we're working on, and it's always going to be posted on the Facebook page and also the Twitter page as well, and my own personal page at OJ Philly. If you're listening, you listen to the podcast at any time, whether we record it live or you listen to the archive, let me know. Give me a shout out. Let me know. Tell me how I'm doing, what you want to hear. As far as the sports entertainment is concerned, we're going to get into a whole lot of things. We're just getting started here. Again, this is just a pilot. So anyone who knows anything about TV or radio, or the old days of radio when they used to do actual shows, programs, you always have a pilot episode. So this is what we're kind of doing here. What we're going to do right now, again, as I'm going to promise you later on, that you're going to have a great night in Philly for little or nothing, little or no cost, I should say. But, of course, I want to give my thoughts on Philly sports. I'm a Philly guy. I grew up in West Philadelphia, a few blocks from, let's say, Will Smith, Jazzy Jeff, those guys. My cousin, I do have a cousin who played in the NBA. His name was Doug Overton. He played with Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. At Dobbins, those great Dobbins teams in Philadelphia, you know, that was a golden age of public league basketball. In fact, we could do a whole show on the Philadelphia public league high school basketball. We could do a whole show in and of itself. Maybe we'll do that one day. Had that scheduled for you. A lot of history, a lot of knowledge going back to Will Chamberlain and maybe even beyond that. So, but let's talk about the state of Philadelphia sports. No playoff team. Well, you had one playoff team this past year, the Philadelphia Flyers, but of course they got knocked out in the first round. You know, a bit overmatched, I should say. But you know, they are a young up and coming team, so we'll see what happens with the Flyers as they come along with a new coach as well. But I really want to get my thoughts on the Eagles. Of course, the Eagles had their draft, the NFL draft. Last month, they moved up and they picked Carson Wentz. They moved up from number 8. Well, first of all, they were at number 13, moved up to number 8, and then they were able to maneuver again. Howie Roseman, the general manager, maneuver again to get the number 2 pick, which ended up being Carson Wentz, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. I wasn't necessarily in favor of moving up at the time. But I saw the Eagles' strategy, even though they do have Sam Bradford, who, by the way, is back with the team who Sam Bradford, through his agent, said that he demanded the trade, didn't want to play for the Eagles anymore because of the pick of Carson Wentz. But Bradford's back. He's at the offseason program. He's practicing, so we'll see how that goes. I don't think Sam Bradford, although I was a bit in his favor because I kind of see what the Eagles did. Sam Bradford's out of here. Short of winning a Super Bowl, going to an NFC Championship game, Sam Bradford is basically out of here. So that ship has sailed for him, even though he signed him with a contract, the way he's handled it, whatever. Sam Bradford is gone, so we can get that out of the way right now. He'll be going after this year, whether the Eagles trade him, whether they cut him, who knows. This is going to be Carson Wentz's team. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Carson Wentz played some this year. In fact, I'm pretty much in favor of Carson Wentz playing this year because my mentality is this. If you're going to maneuver, if you're going to move up to number two and pick your franchise quarterback, the Eagles have told this Philadelphia fan base that Carson Wentz is their franchise quarterback. So if you're going to move up to number two, do all of this wheeling and dealing, getting rid of this guy, getting rid of that guy, and you're telling the fan base that number 11, Carson Wentz, is your franchise quarterback, you got to play him. You got to play him year one. Doesn't necessarily have to be the first game of the season. Doesn't necessarily have to be the eighth game of the season. But you have to play. If you're saying that Carson Wentz is your franchise quarterback, you have to play him sometime in his rookie year. Because if not, you defeat the purpose of moving up to number two. You don't move up that high to get a player that you're not going to play year one. It just doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense in today's NFL. So that's my thoughts on the Eagles and Carson Wentz as far as picking him. Regardless of whether he plays or not, I don't think the Eagles are going to be very good this year. I think they would be lucky to win seven games. A lot of people may not be upset about that because I'm an Eagles fan. Been one basically all of my life. You know, I did like other players, other teams growing up, but, you know, since I've been grown, which is a long time now, of course, I'm a straight Eagles fan, but what I look at, they still have many holes, which is why I was pretty much against the Eagles moving up to number two to get Carson Wentz. I don't think he was worth it, but I do see the talent. I do see the arm. That being said, I want to see all that on the field, and I want to see it immediately. So, again, if he's a franchise quarterback, you got to play him. So, as far as the Sixers are concerned, I wasn't a big Sam Hinkie fan as far as the general manager, you know, Mr. Tank, Mr. The Process. I wasn't a big fan. I did understand a lot of what he did. I thought, in fact, some of what he did was borderline genius, especially when he left here, when he resigned and had the manifesto, the 13-page manifesto. And I think he kind of did that for his resume, for maybe going to another team eventually. I do think Sam Hinkie will be a general manager somewhere else in the next 2 years or so. But anyway, Sixers are they're at a point where they have the worst record in the league. Therefore, they have the biggest probability of getting the number one pick in the draft lottery, which will be in the second week of May. And my thing with that is Sixers could be anywhere from having, with their own pick, they could have the number one pick in the draft, or they could have the number four pick, or they could have two. They could have one and four. If the Lakers drop out of the top three, that pick becomes Philadelphia 76ers property. So the Sixers could have best of both worlds. They could have both the number one pick and the number four pick if the ping pong balls fall right. My thing is this. Maybe I should maybe send an email to the commissioner's office, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. At this point, I said this last year, and this is probably more important, more critical for this year. Sixers have to get that number one pick. They have to. You're looking at the fourth largest market in the NBA, fourth largest market in sports, by the way. And I know, you know, people are afraid to say that the NBA draft lottery is rigged. Some people will say it. Some people have the guts to say it. Most people don't have the guts to say it. I think it's rigged. I know it's rigged. I can't prove it, but I pretty much know that it's rigged. So with that being said, Adam Silver has to give the Sixers the luck. He has to throw the Sixers a bone here and give the fourth largest market the number one pick. Sixers haven't had the number one pick since Allen Iverson, since 1996. So it's due. It's been 20 years. It's about time that the NBA gives the Sixers the number one pick. Am I begging for this? Am I asking for this? Am I pleading for this? Yes. Whether it be Ben Simmons, I'm a big Ben Simmons fan. I probably would take him, the guy out of LSU, or take the guy out of Duke, Brandon Ingram. I would take him too. I think Simmons will be the better player. Who knows? Brandon Ingram has been compared to Kevin Durant. Ben Simmons, unfairly, has been compared to Magic Johnson, has been compared to LeBron James. I think both of these guys can be great. If the Sixers can end up with any of those two guys, that would be great for me. But I'm at the point where the NBA has to give the Sixers this number one pick. Okay. I'd be very upset if they don't, because, again, and I'd be more so upset, even though I did like the Lakers growing up, I'd be more upset if they gave that number one pick to the Lakers. I got a bad feeling that's going to happen, but also I'm equally optimistic that the Sixers will get the number one pick. As far as the players they have on the court right now, I think Jahlil Okafor can be a star player in this league. I think he could be an absolute stud, absolute superstar. Yes, he has to work on his defense. Yes, he has to work on his maturity, not drive 100 miles an hour on the Ben Franklin Bridge. I guess he'd rather do that than play for the Sixers. He didn't want to be here. Who knows if he'll get traded? He may, depending on the amount of picks or where the Sixers fall in the draft, I should say. But New Orleans Noel, to me, he'll be no more than a role player. He's a fantastic athlete, great shot blocker, can do a lot of things for you on the court, but I don't think he'll be anything other than a role player. Who knows how long he'll be on this team as well. I do think the Sixers like Noel better than Okafor. And then that goes to the elephant in the room. That's Joel Embiid. The often injured Joel Embiid. Of course, the Sixers had to take him when he was right there coming out of Kansas. What was it, the second, third pick in the draft? They had to take him. They had no other choice. But, of course, he's often injured, often on the shelf. In fact, so much so, he hasn't played yet a game for the Sixers. And my prediction is I don't think he'll ever play a game for the Sixers. People are saying that he's coming along fine. He may play this year. I've heard similar stuff last offseason. I just don't have any confidence that Joel Embiid will ever step on the court as a Philadelphia 76er. So this makes the 2016 draft all the more important for the Sixers to make the right picks. Brian Colangelo is in charge now as the general manager. I wasn't a big fan of that happening, basically because Jerry Colangelo, who served as the chairman, whatever his title was here with the Sixers, he brought in his son. I wasn't in big favor of that, but Brian Colangelo does have an NBA pedigree. He is well-respected around the league. He did turn around the Phoenix Suns teams. He did turn around Toronto Raptors before they became good again this year. And he does have the respect of players, agents, and other executives around the league. So perhaps the Sixers will be easier to work with when it comes to making trades, making transactions. But back to my premise, the Sixers, as far as the NBA is concerned, they got to throw the Sixers the ball, give them the number one pick. So there you have it. Real quick about my Phillies, as I promised you that You'll have a great night in Philly. Going out, night on the town, whether with friends, whether it's with your mate. My quick thing on the Phillies is it's only a 1 month. They've played through the month of April, early May now, still playing relatively well. They far exceeded my expectations for this year. They may fall flat on their face, but for all the changes, many have picked them to be last in their division. I don't see that now as bad as the Atlanta Braves are, bad as the Marlins are. Phillies are getting great pitching, especially out of their bullpen. They can't hit worth a lick. But they seem to get some clutch hitting here and there. They do have some great young arms in the starting they do have promising young arms in the starting rotation. That begins with Aaron Nola, Vincent Velasquez. They have some good young arms coming out of the bullpen. They have Jeanmar Gomez, who's closing for them, leading the league in saves. And Pete McCannon, the manager, is doing quite a great job. And I think he's handled Ryan Howard well. Ryan Howard single-handedly won three of their games all by himself. But the Phillies are a pleasant surprise. I just hope they can keep it up. But nonetheless, whether they win or lose, they're a fun team to watch again. So as the weather breaks here in Philly and they go down, people want to go down to the ballpark, I think they do have reason to go to the ballpark to, one, see the young arms, and also, two, let's not forget, they got a couple young brothers coming up, J.P. Crawford, also Nick Williams, who's an outfielder. And Lord knows they desperately need outfield help. It's one of the worst outfields I've seen in many years, I should say, at least here in this town. They can't hit worth a lick. Good defensively, but they can't hit any side of City Hall. But nonetheless, the Phillies are fun to watch this year. And I think people will be eager to go down to the ballpark. Next week's show, we'll branch out a little bit, talk a little more broader as far as the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball is concerned. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another short break. When I come back, as I promised, as we have a little less than 15 minutes left in the show, as I promised, I'm going to give you some tips on how to have a good night here in Philadelphia for little or nothing. Trust me, little or nothing, and you'll be pleasantly surprised of the many things that you can do if you just follow these tips. This is The Pod. I'm your host, OJ Spivey, and on the other side, we're going to give you those tips. We're back. This is The Pod, my new radio show here, my new podcast. My name is OJ Spivey, and you can follow us on Twitter at The Pod Show. Follow my personal page, OJ Philly. This is a new podcast where we give you sports entertainment, a Philly vibe. So this is just the first episode. We have many more to come. We're going to have many guests, whether it be sports, whether it be the arts, whether it be music. Again, we're going to give you more than sports. We want to give you a lot of entertainment, too. We're going to branch out from sports a little bit on some episodes, but we're always going to have a little bit of a sports flavor, whether it be through a monologue, whether it be middle of the show. However we try to do it, is we want to try to make this a different sports show, not your average sports show. Make it fun, make it entertaining as we go on in the coming episodes. As promised, as we only have about 10 minutes left, but I wanted to say the best for last. As I had you listen to my sports, listen to how I've come for this career, let's get to the nitty-gritty. If you've ever, let's just say, you're in town, you're in Philadelphia area, and this could be for any area, really, but being that I'm here in Philly, I'll talk more so about that. But I think this could be, all these tips could be universal. You know, you're at home on Friday night or Saturday night, and you just don't know what to do. You don't want to go to the movies. You don't want to go to, you know, your typical dinner, whether it be with your mate, with your friends, and you especially don't want to go to a hole-in-the-wall club to where, you know, as you get older, you know, you've seen one, you've seen them all, and, you know, as you age, no one wants to just go to the club and see the same old people, see the same old regulars. Some folks, especially, good-minded folks who just want to have a good time, don't necessarily like a whole lot of crowds and everything, you just want to have a good time. If you really do your due diligence, and it's not difficult at all, it's just a few things, that you can do. You can hang out anywhere in the city. You can hang out anywhere in this area, and you can have a wonderful time, whether it be with your mate, whether your mate, your spouse, or with a small group of friends. I'm not saying a pack of friends. You can do this. Now, the first thing that you can do is follow. For those of you who, I know most people probably have a Facebook page, you have a Facebook profile. Facebook is fine and everything. It has its benefits, but I also think Facebook, as great as Mark Zuckerberg is, has its limitations. So I will say branch out with Facebook, get a Twitter account. If you have a Twitter account, you probably have an Instagram account. I know a lot of people don't do Twitter. It's just not for them. It's just not their cup of tea. I would say break out of the box and do that. Again, Twitter has been very beneficial for me as far as networking, as far as my career is concerned. Get a Twitter account. If not, you can deal with Instagram. That's certainly a good compliment to Twitter and to Facebook as well. So say if you don't do Twitter, definitely have an Instagram page. And one thing else you want to do is you want to engage in those pages. You want to engage in those pages with people you follow, not so much the people that you follow. Follow things that interest you, whether it be sports, whether it be the arts, whether it be music, whether it be restaurants, foodie stuff. If you're a foodie, you definitely should be on social media with the different restaurants in the area, with the different types of food that you like, whether it be from a diner to fine dining to just a food truck. If you love food trucks, you should be following somebody's food truck because you're going to get a lot of information. You're going to get a lot of tips on events. So follow those people. Also, too, you want to follow some of the great venues in this area. Like some of the museums, most people here, the joke is Philadelphia, we don't ever go to our own museums. They're just tourist attractions. Follow the Art Museum. Follow the African American Museum. Follow the Barnes Foundation. You'd be surprised of the avenues that opens up and the things that go on in the city when you follow those type of accounts. So once you follow, go onto their website. Check out what's going on in the area. Check out what the type of events that they have going on there. And the best thing to do that is to join their mailing list, join their email list. I can't stress enough. You know, this day and age, everyone should have an email. Everyone. So join their email list. I know people don't like junk mail, but to follow these people, again, if you want to have a great time, this is something you got to break out of, engage in, just go through the junk mail. you know who's sending you email. So if you know if you join the mailing list for, let's say, the art museum, or you join the mailing list for one of the good venues here in the city, the Avenue of the Arts or the Kimmel Center or something like that, follow them, join their mailing list, because they're going to send you their events, all that's what's going on. And the cool thing about that is, if you can, another thing too, if you can become a member of any of those places, become a member. If you can afford it, you can swing it. Most of it is inexpensive, but even so, you really don't have to become a member to be engaged in a lot of their events. But what I would say is, if you don't become a member, engage in their social media, engage in their Twitter account, engage in their Instagram, or like their Facebook page. If you're big on Facebook, like their page, because you're going to find out what's going on. You're going to find out about exhibits, events, and you'll definitely find out about the private events when you join their mailing list, you join their email list. Engage with them. Like their photos. You know, make a comment on their page. They post a photo that you like, even if it was like with a restaurant. You like a dish, say something about it. Like it. Say, wow, that looks fantastic. That looks delicious. Sometimes when I follow restaurants or chefs or foodies, things of that nature, I say, wow, that looks sinful. I like to use the term sinful. That's usually something that looks very good, but it's not good for you. I'll say it's sinful. But do that. Engage with them. It's social media. They call it social media for a reason. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Engage with those places and things that, and events and venues that you follow. Next thing is, we got about 5 minutes left. Next thing is RSVP. This is huge. After you join the mailing list, they send you an event. They send you an invitation via Facebook, especially if they send you event, something or not, RSVP. Because I'll tell you the importance of doing the RSVP. One thing leads to another. Okay, even if you can attend, most RSVPs are little to nothing, are free. They do have some big events that happens at, let's say, Dilworth Park, private events at Dilworth Park, or private events that might be out on the parkway or in Fairmount Park where they'll put the tent up and it's like, you know, members only and it's like $50 a pop. That's not what I mean. Still, RSVP to it. If it doesn't force you to buy a ticket when you RSVP, do it anyway. Eventbrite is another good site as well. It's another site that I can't think of, but Eventbrite is very, very good. Download the Eventbrite app. Have it on your computer or your laptop. You'll find out everything that's going on with Eventbrite. Most of those RSVPs is little or no cost. They don't make you buy a ticket when you RSVP. Also, too, when I say even if you can't come to any of the events, try to go at least to one out of every 3 to 5 events that you RSVP to. Attendance is key, and when you do attend, don't be afraid to meet the host. Meet the host, mingle with other people who are there. Find out who's hosting the venue. Find out who the coordinators are. Find out who the social media manager is. Because you get with them, they'll be glad to meet you. They'll be glad to engage with you. They'll find out that you're there. They'll meet you. They'll know who you are. They say, okay, sometimes I'm going to say, I'm OJ Philly from Twitter. I follow you. You follow me. What have you. Most likely they'll end up following you once you follow them at first on social media. You meet them. Again, that goes to one thing leads to another. In fact, one thing in particular, my wife and I are going to an event at the art museum this weekend, and it was all through networking, going to a different event. I'm a member of the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. I went to an event to the art museum. Just the simple fact that I was there, RSVP'd, I went there, they had invitations. Their open event, which led to a party that happens after that event. So it goes on and on and on. So we're out of time. I gave you those tips. If you miss any of it, just hit me up on Twitter at Philly. I'll give you those tips again. I'll post the podcast on all the social media. Thank you for listening. Again, this is just a pilot episode. This is the first of many more. Next week, we're going to have some guests. We're going to have a couple football players on in the coming weeks. We're going to have experts who deal with athletes as far as playing football, pre, post-retirement, even playing through college. We're going to have journalists on, reporters on, different things. Through also with the arts, with food, with music, also sports as well. This has been The Pod. I'm OJ Spivey. Again, hit me up on Twitter at OJ Philly. We'll talk to you next time. And as I always said before, always try to win. Not always try to win. I would say this. Life is short. Play to win. We'll talk to you next time.